right. Hello, and welcome to Lang Time Chat, episode 62. I am David.
And I'm Jesse.
Woo! And today we are here with Tabby. Hello!
Hey, Tabby.
Hi.
Tabby is our longtime patron, and today what you're seeing on screen right now is Tabby's font, and this is for... is this the name of the language or the people, the Clemente?
The language is Clemente. The people are... I have never tried to pronounce that. So, Hishima... The intent was for readers of English to look at their to look at it and go, eh.
Okay.
So I think I achieved that.
Oh, all right.
Is it the longer, like, Kakim
Jelchim? Yeah, that's the... Literally the children of the islands.
Oh, Kakim Jelchim. Yeah?
Yeah. It's the... The accents indicate stress.
Oh, nice. Okay. Fantastic. Okay, good. All right, so Tabby is sharing with us today her neography, and it's one of a series from that is like we're just looking at one of these, and there are a bunch of different ones. By the way, did you want us to share this document?
Afterwards? Yeah, you're welcome to share the document.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of things I should have asked before we started recording, but here we are. Anyway, so we've read the whole document. For the podcast, do you want to just kind of summarize it, maybe? And I'll kind of scroll through?
So this is a this is an alphabet that comes from... Rebus characters that were originally written in clay as carvings. And then the people who used this language moved to writing on leaves with brushes. And I'm really struggling to get from those Rebus characters to a font I actually think, A, I could believe it comes from those characters, and B, it looks appropriate for where the culture is at this point in time. They're still predominantly writing on, their literature is still predominantly written, or it's produced through a fixed type text, mm-hmm. rather than being a type. The language, the font that I produced here, as much as I think it looks better than my first attempt, it feels very computerized.
Okay, so first let's do a couple of things first. So right now, unfortunately, due to the way we're sharing, Tabby can't see me scrolling through the PDF, but she will be able to see the font screen when I'm doing that. But I wanted to show everybody this stage of the writing system is really, really lovely. This is, I think, the earliest stage, Put Digi, right? Or not the earliest.
So, no.
Not the earliest stage,
put
but like.
Put Digi is, the earliest stage is what you see with Budahai, the eye. Put Digi is, to have taken the same basic characters and moved them quite significantly to something that is now producible with a movable font type press.
Right.
Which is why you get what you have.
Wait. I think that one is very lovely in how you've constructed it. I was trying to... All right. Here, wait.
So the Rebus glyph, that's the earlier form, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so like this chart, I think, is what you can show, David.
Okay, here we go. Romanization, the Rebus, and then the writing system in question here. Mm-hmm. Okay. But yeah, actually I really like the Rebus version. It's very nice.
Yeah, the Rebus, I'm actually a lot more com I'm not a lot happier with the Rebus. I knew how to do that.
Okay. So let's right now jump to the font. By the way, I wanted to mention there is some sort of error that is happening with the font that I can't explain. There's basically a kern feature that's embedded in a kern feature, and it does not like it.
Yeah, that's something going on with Bird Font. It's done it whenever I've put it into something else, and I can't, and Bird Font's kerning is a mess. Because you're doing it through a GUI and you can't. You either just delete all of your kerning classes or you have to just build them on top of each other.
Let's take a look. There are no kerning classes in this font.
Yeah, I haven't kerned that font because I wasn't happy enough with it to go through the process.
Oh, okay, so there's just no kerning at all.
No.
Oh, well that actually makes it a lot easier, because then all we need to do is just delete the kern feature and font is happy. All right, so let's take a look at what you have done here. So this system, if I can describe it, we have it's a mono-width font, so all of the lines have the same width. It is curvilinear, but also has sharp connections. And every single glyph is written with respect to a horizontal line. It's about three quarters of the way up through the character. So the line it goes, if we're just using the points here that are in FontLab, it goes from 573 to 614, whereas the tallest glyph is something like 819. So for those who are just listening, that should give you somewhat something like an idea. The visual impression of this font is that it is something that is quite modern, computer generated, and looks a little bit like Arial, I would say, right? Okay, and so there's two things that we're going to talk about here. One is actual glyph design, and then two is style. And I think that we can separate those two. So the first thing I want to talk about is style. Because every single instance of this writing system, except for the last one, features individual glyphs that do not connect. What was your reason for having this modern system connect?
Because it's intended to be, it's inspired by Thai and Bengali, and it's intended to be written on that as it came to this culture, it moved from being something that was written in clay and that you took your stylus off the clay to make sure that each individual glyph was distinct into something where moving the pressure of putting your brush or your pencil down was likely to tear the leaf that you were drawing it on, so everything had to connect and be minimally sharp. And I was trying for less sharp lines, and lines and really struggling to get from these very sharp angular glyphs to the curvilinear glyphs I was trying to produce.
And David, I don't know if this is totally stepping on something that you were working up to. But one thing is, as it stands, every one of these characters, as I see it, would require, except for like the MY, I could see like doing that in one go. But
It's you.
most of these, oh, sorry,
You.
could do it in one go. But most of these would require picking up and moving just because it's, like when you have a straight line up here as a connector line, like if you're looking at the character that's mapped to C, there's like straight line, and then that's the connector line. Then there's a vertical line coming down and a half kind of semicircle coming off of that at the bottom, which that would require like picking up twice,
Yep.
and then going back to the connector line. And so one thing that I know in your document you had mentioned this too, it could be difficult for you to mimic these on your own. And so I think even just asking, someone to help to be like, how would you write this if you couldn't pick up your pen, just to see what the swoops and the angles may look like, to try to get these shapes that are inspired by the original glyphs without ever once picking up the pen off of a piece of paper or something. Because these shapes are, as you have said, and as David also said, are very, they very much look like how a computer would render some shapes that could be handwritten. And so really there should be no, if it's meant to be connected, there should be no line of the glyph that hangs down and leaves an opening, because that would require you to pick up whatever you're writing with and start again.
Right. So,
Yeah.
as it stands, there are only two characters in this font that can be done with a single stroke. That's the U character and the N. Every single one is going to
Yeah.
require you to pick up the pen and put it back down at least once. And
Yeah.
so, go ahead.
I had an earlier thought that was my attempt at doing that, but because it, but doing it, and this is a very much a compromise of trying to get something that looked functional, so at least I could see, begin to see what I was thinking of, rather than achieving my goals, which is.
Sure.
So that was one thing. The other thing is that this looks like a computerized version of something that had this writing line for some reason in the past, no longer needs it, and so keeps the writing line just for the sake of tradition, because it's
That was intentional.
Yeah, it's not very well. It doesn't really have a purpose in this. In fact, if you got rid of the connecting line for most of these, you'd actually produce, I think, something a bit closer to a modern version of this original one. However, there are, as a result of this, as a result of the line, you produce some really intriguing looking glyphs, and I want to single out a few of them. T, absolutely perfect, wonderful shape. Love that. FY, tremendous. CH, I really like. O dieresis is just the weirdest glyph I've ever seen. It's so out there that I kind of totally love it.
The RHY, you're not, did you already pull that one out?
RHY is oh yeah, that is, I was going to say it's a modification of CH, but no, it kind of goes a little bit further, doesn't it? Very, very interesting.
The F reminds me of like a stained glass window or something. Like, I love the evocative feeling I get from that.
And so, like, I would hate to lose those shapes. And so I am torn in suggesting a direction for this, because I would suggest one of two directions. One would be to create the script that this is the computerized version of, the one that really strongly requires the writing line, and that uses it. And this is kind of like a version of it that says, well, if we had our time to really do this, this would be what it would look like. And then the other is to go in a different direction, go back to the rebus glyphs, and essentially keep iterating before you get to this point to think, how exactly could this be done with exactly one stroke? For one thing, it's hard to imagine how movable type might have evolved in an entirely different world, because if when they evolved movable type, they expected characters to connect, they might not have done what we did with the typewriter. We expected characters to not connect, We were using the Roman alphabet. And so it was very rare. In fact, they invented the idea of the ligature when, just with movable type, they saw how weird it kind of looked with F and I that close to each other and F and L that close to each other. So they just invented the ligature and said, all right, well, we have this sequence, we're going to manually replace it with this character that looks like both of them combined, and then it'll look nicer. Anyway, so it's really hard also because the font programs that we have still expect movable type. So you're kind of imagining a machine that was invented to handle your writing system that doesn't exist. And so that doesn't help you make a font.
No, I will say this world does have movable type created by people who actually use glyphs quite a lot more like ours. They intend them to be separate, like their own alphabet, they tend to be separate, but this culture doesn't yet have access to that technology.
So
And they would probably borrow the existing technology, which would then expect them to somehow work out how to separate their glyphs.
yeah, so this is my thought then. The writing line doesn't necessarily make sense. And in fact, like, let's say that you did have this situation where you have the terrible paper that's being written on. What I might expect is instead that it becomes something that is a little bit like what I did with Castathon. The original Castathon writing system was not an Abu Gita. At best, you would call it an Abjad. But it was also kind of a really an alphabet. There were major glyphs for consonants, and that was it. So that was what made it Abjadic. And then there were these very, very small secondary marks that were on the right side that told you either when the inherent vowel was long or when the inherent vowel was changed to E or U, and then when those two vowels were long. And that was it. And then there were a couple of combinations of these small ones that you could get ooh, ooh, e, and so on, like that. And then what happened was when it moved to the terrible paper, those things that were separate elements became single elements. And so that a lot of the glyphs in the Castathon writing system went from like at minimum three strokes to one stroke. And that's what you would be aiming for here, is taking these and turning them into one stroke. So I want to target one glyph as an example. We're going to look at M, okay? And look at the rebus character. And essentially, what you have is kind of a fork pointing down without the middle tongue. Imagine a three-tongue fork pointing down without the middle tongue. And then on the right side, in the middle of the handle of the fork, there's a box. Now,
So I'm going to explain it a slightly different way because this is immediately what I saw when I looked at this, and it's going to make you laugh. Is kind of a person doing that cowboy walk, the exaggerated like
Oh my
legs out to the
goodness.
side, carrying a box to their side,
Oh my goodness.
and so like immediately thought of like Sylvester Stallone and
And
Rhinestone.
Rhinestone,
Yeah. So anyway, that's I love this character. Go on.
All right.
The logo graph it comes from is Mother.
Oh,
Mother,
is that the baby?
yeah.
All right. So the modern glyph that you have here, the intuition was right in that the essentially the boxes become a loop, the bottom has been simplified. However, the way that this has been rendered is that this is still three strokes. You have the writing line, which there's no evidence of in the original glyph. You have the vertical line, and then you have the circle representing the box. So here's what I want to try to do. We're going to let's go to Latin Pro for a minute. That was just your characters. We're going to do a dummy character. right here. Okay, so we've got something like this, right? And what you want, I think, here, I need a line. So let's grab that. Okay, let's go to the right. We want a straight line, so delete that. Okay, so basically, we're getting that. Oh, but wait, we don't need, I'm sorry. I want this to be upsy downsy. Not leftsy rightsy. Not that thick. Let's make it that thick. Actually, let's make this a uniform thickness. Right now that's 86. Let's make it 100. So we can do some nice math with that. Pardon me. Maths.
Yeah, this is something that Birdfoot did weirdly because I actually did all of this with multiples of five, and that isn't how it imports at all.
That is strange. And I will say I'm not surprised by that. Because these units that are in FontLab, I always assumed they were points. They're not. They're nothing. They are completely fictional units. They've just made them up. They don't even have a name. And you can actually change how much a unit is in this thing. So yeah, I'm not at all surprised that when it ported over as something random. All right, so we got this line here. Let's actually separate things out and make ourselves a circle I don't know, let's put something there and we'll just scooch that out like that and make that and copy it, paste it, flip it, move it over. We're going to be removing the overlap and now we've got something that's kind of a diamond shape. Let's put some points in the middle there. And now get rid of the extraneous nodes. Get something that's about the size we want. So if 500 is going to be the middle, what do we got? 1,000 here? Let's make it half size. So we're going to bring that down to 700, this up to 200. If that's 1349, let's take it to 1300 and make that at 1800. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
For all those listening along, David is playing around with a diamond-shaped character at this point.
Yeah, and this thing needs to be in the middle. Right. Folks is listening. Okay, half of 500 is 250. 1800 minus 250 is 1550, right?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. What is that? 700 minus 200 is.
500.
But what's halfway in between 700 and 500? It's minus 250.
Between what, sorry?
Oh, so that needs to be at 450. You know what? I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There we go. And now let's make sure that these things are uniform distance apart. So let's going to take this down to 50 because we wanted it at 100, right? 500. Well, I'm sorry. 1800, 700, blah, blah, blah. 250, that needs to be at 350. And then 1300, 1399, 1400. All right, now we have a perfect diamond. All right, we got 354 on the outside, 212 on the inside, 45 degree angles all around. I want to save that just in case, so I'm going to paste that up there, but we're going to turn this into a circle. So we're going to take all of these, let's just take everything. And make it smooth. Ta-da! And that's kind of circly.
Oh my gosh, it's a circle, but it's got cute little outcroppings where the
Yeah.
diamond used to be.
It's not greatly circled, it's just semi-circled. So let's delete some of the nodes. We're just going to delete the nodes on the top and bottom one by one. And that's much better circle. Let's make sure all these things are the same. 319, 320, not the same. Not my tempo. That needs to go up to 820. We have 320, 319. Nope. They're both 320 now. These guys, 191, 191, 191, 191. Look at that. That's beautiful. Now we've got ourselves a little circle. All right. So let's go back to our line. Where is our line? Oh.
I thought you deleted it.
I guess I did. All right. We're going to go back over here. We're going to plunk that right in there. 1650. All right. So now we got something that looks a little bit like thorn, right?
Oh, sure does.
Okay. So this is a, I mean, even though this is stylized, obviously, this is stylized for a font because you can do something like this. If this were handwritten, you would see a little bit more of the, you know,
the stroke of the loop.
This can be achieved in one stroke. You have whoop, boom, like that. Now, if you wanted to have some sort of reminiscence of the bow-leggedness, what you could do, if you wanted, again, is have a curve up this way. And this is still a single stroke. So let's go back to our circle. And this is, again, this is just quick and dirty. It's not perfect. We're going to put some nodes there, cut them, delete them, get rid of these guys, and you've got yourself a serviceable little curve ski. Let's put them on here. Boom. Remove overlap. There we go. Curve ski in place. Let's move that up just a tiny little bit ski. And, you know, just because, well, we could have it go below the writing line a little bit. How about like that? There we go. All right. And so here is another version of this kind of glyph. So you see that we've gotten rid of the writing line there, but this is now all achievable in a single stroke. Now, I forgot to, I mean, wait, no, we don't want to save that. Let's look at the phonology here of your language. There's a palatalized and pharyngealized version of every single consonant, is that right?
Kind of. There's a couple of consonants where there's a overlap. There's the velars are, you have k and g, but they,
oh, and you have two different, yeah, so like palatal, sorry, the palatal uvulars are the same as the pharyngeal palatals, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, is this IPA here, or is it like, you know, like they used to be pharyngeal, but they're not anymore?
This is how they would understand their IPA chart. They're not. So the part and bar are actually plain, but they would understand that to be the pharyngealized comparison to the palatal.
Yes. Got it. Okay, cool. And the thing that I'm missing is, here we go, vowels. E-A, kind of an regular one. And then we have, is O diéresis, is that actually aw?
Yeah.
Okay, aw, o, oo. By the way, as you can see, you know, not as you can see. If you are watching the video, you can see visually in the modern font, these are obviously new vowels. So basically kind of the lowered A and O vowels, the lowered ones, they're new vowels. They don't have any reification in the older writing system. They only have one in the new writing system, where essentially they are the mid vowels with a kind of diacritic. That is the small circle that comes after them. And so that's how those characters are rendered. So here is where you might, and I say might, and I really mean might, consider something quite radical. These vowel characters are very large. This is very much an alphabet where the vowel characters and the consonant characters are given equal prominence. You might consider perhaps turning this into some kind of Abu Gita by reducing the visual prominence of the vowels if you really wanted to lean in to this to the idea that that they're really trying to not get the surface of the paper to tear. That will give you more opportunity to write something with a single stroke without having to lift the pen up. And so what you'll see here is you'll need five vowel characters, the five cardinal, a, e, o, u, and then some sort of modification to handle the new ones. And what might be interesting is that the placement of these vowels might depend on the character itself. So obviously, if you follow the notion of linear precedence, the vowel characters should come to the right if you're writing left to right, correct? So in other words, if they come later in time, they should come later on the line. But with this new character that we have written, if you're staying on the line and you're already going to the left, you could imagine putting the vowel character right there
And but right there
to the
to the
left
left, yeah.
because that's where the line ends. And I guess that's one way of thinking of it. The other way of thinking of it is if instead of going from top to bottom to write this character, you go from bottom to top, then maybe they go on top and they could go to the right still. It doesn't really matter. And then you could have a whole series of glyphs. It would be seven versions of it. That just kind of goes with that. And then, so the fun part, I think, will be going back to these original glyphs and saying, how can this be done with a single stroke? I think you're dead on with ooh. Just without the writing line, basically, it would just be a circle. I think that makes a lot of sense. And with the so with the I'm going to ignore the other ones. I want to focus on A and O because there is kind of a challenge here. The A character looks like a little bit like the Windows logo, but not
Looks
with
like
it
a folded map,
or a
a
folded map.
treasure
Yeah.
map.
And the O character is like an arrow pointing upwards, and there's a dividing line that doesn't quite go all the way through. My immediate instinct with O is that that turns into kind of like a double circle character. But that, of course, is what you've done with A as well.
My thought with O is like an upside down, like if you're writing phi in Greek quickly, you get like a where this side is still open, it's not all the way through.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But if you do that upside down to, because that's the open part is actually the other way, like the part that goes through is the opposite way from how I would write phi.
Because I was also thinking of a different character, which I don't know how to I don't know how to show it right now.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure if you
Here, I'll just where's my pen? I never use the pen on this thing.
Isn't it like
A brush. Here we go. You know that old IPA character that looks like that? You remember?
No.
There's an old IPA character. It's called Closed Omega, or like
Okay.
closed lowercase omega. Like it could be something like that. But what you were thinking was basically this.
Oh, I can draw. I can draw. You just like hold down? Like, that's phi. And if you did it upside down to mimic. Ah, there we go. Something like.
Okay, but then over time it wouldn't go through.
Right.
Either it would become a full upside down gamma, or it would become essentially Japanese no.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
I think that's a very good instinct. Yeah, and so then that leaves E to be essentially your double circle. But how to
Like
do that?
a pretzel.
Yeah, how to do that with one stroke. So essentially, if this is this, right, then this one is actually could become that.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's better than my pretzel idea.
All right. And so then with these, they'll have this circle diacritic, right? Because I love this circle diacritic. Is this circle diacritic, is it related to the oo character?
Yeah, because historically these were it they're they have a lot of W's in the A followed by W tended to go to O. So you got which is how
Yeah.
and O followed by W tended to go to O.
Let me throw out some radical suggestions for you.
And while David is doing that, I really just want to say how much I appreciate the way you're really considering where your speakers are in terms of their own understanding of the language. And I think that's really cool how you're pulling these elements together as you're creating the system. And David's doing some
One of the things,
fun little loop-de-loops
one
for
of
you.
the things, so one of the things about conlanging that actually really appeals is trying to build is building a world and how that and how their understanding of what they speak.
Yeah.
Yes. I was going to say, I know that you put this document together today for really for art purposes, just to kind of look at this, but I think I would love to see that document aimed at just an explanation of the evolution of these writing systems. I would love to put that on Fiat Lingua. I think it would be perfect.
Probably with less typos.
Yeah.
What's a document if it doesn't have typos?
Kind of like this idea. And then if you had this over here, right? Kind of that type of a thing.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that,
Oh, to describe
oh, right.
David,
Sorry.
David
Where
did
was
some.
I?
Oh, I don't even know. There we go. David did like a really cool sort of almost open infinity shape for the double O. Like it doesn't cross through both ways. It only goes in the upward swoop of the infinity if you're thinking of like a horizontal infinity sign. But then the one with the diacritic, the line comes up all the way through and then it loops around on top. And it creates this really amazing, and I'm actually like super impressed with his ability with the pen on his keyboard here. I'm a little jealous of that ability.
But I mean, this is,
This looks great.
it's not final.
Listen, it looks great.
It is great for a sketch, but also like this is not something you want to like start with and then work with this, especially as the lines cross over. Here at least they're on separate layers, but like it's much easier to start from scratch and just go with copy and paste stuff. All right, now let's look at the other two remaining characters. We have something that looks exactly like a dreidel. I love it for ah. And then something that looks like wheat coming out of the ground for E. What were the visual inspirations for those two characters?
A is an acorn.
Oh.
Oh my God, I love it.
And E is a tree.
Is a
Nice.
tree. Nice. So, I mean, fortunately, my first instinct for that is just that, but that is two strokes. And so we're trying to get something that's one stroke, as we know that ooh is going to be that. And so it, go ahead.
So, like an upside down C set,
Yeah.
like where you get the little.
You could do that, and if we started there, we can keep it going. Just becomes an S.
Yeah.
And for the tree, I like that there's this bottom line here with this character, because it like gives you. I don't know.
Okay, so David fell apart on drawing on his computer with the tree.
It gives you more to work with, but anyway, so like you can imagine if you were kind of doing this, right? It would be, you know what I'm saying? Like it'd be something like that, and then that would get simplified, right? Something like,
I think they would only have one of the branches represented by the end of it.
yeah, and so like I don't know, something like there. But you know, not crappy. But we don't like this. Well, the sharp corner isn't, I guess, so
Well, it
bad.
also depends if you're trying to, if you are trying to connect it still in some way, you would think it would, the bottom would go to the right if you're writing from left to right.
You think the bottom would go to the right?
If you're trying to connect it to the next letter and you're writing left to right.
Well, who said we were trying to connect it?
If you're trying not to pick up your pen to between characters.
Yeah, but like, actually kind of think be more of a Y-shaped thing. So like, I don't know, something like that. Anyway, let's just like mock like I don't know one of these up real quick. Where is this thing even picking up? Okay, that's our circle, so we already know that we have the circle. So yeah, let's actually just kind of put these characters somewhere. So delete that. Delete that. Let's tools, actions. Set side bearings to zero just to put it in the center so that we can see it. There's our character. Oh, right. Keep trying to save. I keep trying to save just because, you know,
That's a common
it's,
workflow.
yep. So let's see what would happen if we attached this. Oh. Let's say that it did attach here. Let's see, that is at 100. That's at 100. Good. Let's grab another node and just put it right there. Atta baby. Yeah. Look at that. Funky. I did it again. I just keep trying to save.
Listen, don't fight it, because when you go back to working on one of your own font projects, you need that as part of your workflow.
Yeah. All right. So that would be you. Now, I want to see what were some of the other ideas we had.
Don't know. I really liked your infinity. But I don't know if that's an easy one to start with here, with what you're going for.
Like that's How does that work? How does that work?
The infinity?
Oh, I see. I know how it works. I know how it works. I know how it works. I got this. I got this. Check this out. Okay, so first let's build this. Let's build this thing. Somewhere else. Like right here. We're gonna start here. And we'll need, right. So just put that right there, 500, 500, 500. Let's connect that by adding a couple of nodes.
David is connecting to semicircles.
Yeah. There we go. And connected. And then I have kind of a wild idea I want to try. It's kind of goofy, but I just want to see where it goes. Ah! You see that little candy cane dance?
Sometimes I guess most people didn't. Sometimes candy canes feel the groove.
All right, 1, 2, 3. That'll be good. And then 1, 2, 3. Connect that. And now we need another one, but we need it on the bottom. And we did 3. Whoops, we did 3, right? So 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Get the whole thing. Move it over.
That really preserves the original intent.
But the opposite
really
way.
Well.
But the opposite way. You know what I'm saying? It should. Let's just flip it. Right?
Was it that way? I thought it was the other way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't.
Tabby says yes?
Okay.
Tabby says yes? All right. Okay. So here's the thing.
It's originally the opposite way around.
Yeah. So this is, of course, too big, right? Boop, boop, boop. It's going to shorten up a little bit, but maybe not that much. I don't know. But anyway, let's just grab it and have some fun with it. See what happens. I'm going to, of course, delete this. Delete that. And connectaroo, it's at, what is that, at 140?
140.
What? Wait.
100, 140 are the two numbers.
It's at 100. It's at 100. Okay, now we can connect this guy there. 2, 3, 4. Boop, 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 boo. Look at that. That is crazy. Oh my God. Anyway. All right. Oh, there I go, saving again. that's so wild. Oh my God. Oh my God. Because of course, see, it's connecting backwards this time,
mm-hmm.
right? But okay. So then, and so then, oh my gosh. Okay. Because this is ultimately what is going to happen. So you could do it one of two ways. And I think for the sake of preserving the idea, I want to try to do it this way. I don't know if it's going to work. But okay, so that's 100. That's 400. We got to go 1, 2. It's too much. You have to. So when we moved that over, the curve looks all bad now. The curve looks terrible. So you got to change it. Let's try. Yeah, that's better. Just take it down 100. That looks better. All right, and so now we just take the line and let's squirt it on down there.
But
yeah,
I guess I don't understand really what's happening right now.
Oh, you will see.
Okay.
This needs to go to 300.
Are you doing the connector but upside down?
I sure am.
Okay.
It's going upside down because it's connecting backwards. See? All right. So now we need a circle, but we need a smaller circle. So let's figure out how to get a smaller circle. Let's copy this, paste it here. Delete that. Don't need it. Move this over. Let's see. Repeat set side bearings. Okay. So this needs to be about half size, right? Half of 500 is 250, so that's kind of a bummer. So let's go ahead and just say it's 300. So that's 1, 2. And now you see it's a little smally guy. But let's change these. Let's just try that. Okay, that's maybe we went too much. Let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's cute. That's
like
cute.
A little donut.
Kinda. It needs to. You know what, I'm gonna leave it. This doesn't
For
need to
the
be
sake
perfect.
Of time,
this
yeah.
doesn't need to be perfect. All right. Okay. Here we go. And we're gonna plunk that. We would love it for that to be there. So that is -100. Yeah, that's about right. That of course is down too far. So we're just gonna take that from -20 up to, what is that, 60? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Look at that. Wild. Oh my God, this is getting goofy, but it is all one stroke. And it's like, who would create a goofy character like this? But if you compare it to this one, it kind of makes sense. By the way, if you want to like actually make this a more like a more mannerly character, you could do that and that and that, and then also do the same thing right here. 1, 2.
And so you mean to kind of bring everything in, make it
tighter? Yeah. Just making that character 1, 2. And then again. Ooh, oh shoot. Gotta grab that other one. 1. All right, and then now we can also bring this down. And that looks a lot more like a diacritic rather than
a full character,
which means that these, of course, would shrink a whole bunch. And you could just kind of bring everything in. Hopefully that one doesn't go out too much. It should be fine. It should be fine. And if it isn't, you can just pull it down even further. Okay, I actually kind of want to see. This one has to be this size for this one. So you could shrink this part, right? 1, 2. Yeah, that works. 1, 2. Oh, just 1. There we go. Okay. Sorry, just 1, 2, right.
Now, as David is doing this, I will say, like, you know, regardless of whether you're seeing shapes that you would be interested in using, I think it would be helpful. Like, you could post a challenge even in one of the, like, Discord channels to be like, hey, here are shapes I'm looking at. How would you do it, you know, like, in one stroke? What would you do, just to see, like, some different shapes that different minds come up with? Because obviously your speakers, like, it's not like one person is making the decision. You would have a lot of different hands working, and so to see how different minds take the same shapes, to try to get single strokes out of them, may help you get inspired for different ways that you could take the font. And you know, that could be on the art channel or just even Conlang Corner, you know, something where it's like you could just kind of see what folks come up with.
Yeah. So and I'm sorry, I got, like, first of all, I had to say, just when I saw your font originally, I loved the idea and I loved some of the shapes. That's honestly kind of the hardest thing to get when you're creating a new font, is just some actually interesting, visually interesting shapes. And some of these were just wild and blew me away. It reminded me of the types of things that I was trying to do with Erathient. Like this T especially, I love it. And so it's like, the problem though was like, you know, which one is more important? And I think the competing forces that you were working with, none of them won. So like this was kind of like a compromise. So very few of these could be done with one stroke. there was also the writing line. It also looked a bit more modern. And then there was also like, well, it's trying to look like the original glyphs. And sometimes the connection is clearer and sometimes it isn't. So I guess that was the question to go back and say, which of these do I want to be the most important? Getting this for this like earlier stage that was handwritten, getting it closest to this idea of single line so that the paper doesn't break, or getting it closer to looking visually like the original glyph, or just kind of leaning away from that and saying, you know what, I'm leaning into the fact that we're just going to say there's multiple lines in this thing. And so then the question is, do I need the connecting line at all, or do I just want to forget about that and just design these glyphs to look kind of cool in this aesthetic, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, as much as I like the idea of a world where language, where writing has emerged once, and I like there being some hint of the fact that it's only emerged once, doesn't matter that much to me that they are, that every glyph can be connected to the original glyph. If you look at some of the other fonts I did, there's very little relation between what the original glyph was and what the modern glyph is.
I also just, it's one of the things that I love and look for a lot in writing systems is basically what you did here with the vowels. I love this, and you never really see this, right? Because you have this original writing system that was well, a six vowel system, right? The central vowel is not needed and so isn't represented in the modern system. But you have a seven vowel system, and so then what you see is the modern writers inventing a modification to create a new glyph based on an old one. That's something you see in writing systems all over the world. Right? It's something that you rarely see conlangers do. It's really, really cool. And of course, the same thing can work with consonants as well.
Yeah, in this case, they had plenty of original characters, and they haven't actually innovate. They've more merged their consonant inventory together rather than innovating new consonants.
Anyway, so now that we're at the
But no.
57 mark, 57 minute mark. Has any of this been helpful at all?
Yeah, it's been really interesting to see how you approach it, and actually. But yeah, I think my ultimate problem boils down to I'm trying to create a script that I can't physically create myself, that I can't physically replicate myself.
Yeah.
Well, with handwriting, right?
Yeah.
But remember with the font. You don't
It doesn't have
necessarily,
to.
you don't have to draw it with the mouse. And in fact, if you're drawing
I.
something with the mouse, it's probably not going to look as good as if you just mathed it out, you know?
Yeah, if you look at the fonts I tend to create, I don't. I'm working with a vector program, and I will be. T and I'm creating it for, it through mask. This is the reason this looks so computerized, is because it's 100% masked.
Well, and that's why though I thought like it could be kind of fun to just put a challenge to the Discord channel to just be like, what shapes do you get out of doing this in one stroke? Just to see what other ideas might strike your fancy.
But also, I want to show you something because there are a lot of things that you can do without ever, like without ever handwriting something. So I'm going to show you just like a couple of ideas here. Well, I want you to be smooth. Smooth. Thank you. There we go. Very sorry. That's what we want, right? Because like a lot of the stuff where it kind of looks a little bit weathered, you know, is
Yeah,
stuff that you can do just with manipulating these things without having to actually draw them. So, all right. You come back a little bit. Yeah. And then I think that I want another one right there. I'm going to delete that. Yeah. And so what I was trying to do right here is I'm showing you that how just one way that you can create serifs, and all this stuff is just done inside the font program by manipulating these guys right here.
I normally create a series of serifs that are the right shape and I just add them onto the right bits.
Exactly.
Oh,
But
is how I would have it.
you can also do it with line width. So check this out. So I've put a node right in the middle of this very long thing. I'm going to make it smooth, and we're just going to punch it in just by 10. In fact, that may even be a little bit too much. Let's go 5. And so now suddenly you can see this line here. It's not pristine, It looks like a little, like it's got a little bit of texture to it. And you can do the same thing with these guys right here. So now we're going to drag these, I don't know what they're called, but now see, we've made the top and bottom a bit of a, narrower width to give some texture to that. And you can see, like, obviously it's a little bit funky here. I have no idea what happened here. Like, I don't know why that happened. So I'm just going to delete, no, we're not going to delete that node. But really, how did that happen? How did that happen? Oh, it's just in the wrong place, isn't it? There we go. That's a little bit better. But then this got all funkified, didn't it? That's it. But you just do the same thing here. We're going to put something in the middle. We're going to drag it down a little bit, and maybe this thing too. Why not? Why not? Let's give him a little friend down there. Move that over. Anyway, and it's just. And oh, you know what? I want to do up at the top here too. I want to do this at the top too. I'm going to put something right there. Gonna make that smooth. And I'm gonna drop it down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm gonna take these guys up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give that a little bit of texture there. And it's like, this is just super quick and dirty, but it's like you can do this to emulate what you could do with a pen without actually having to draw the thing. Either with a mouse or on paper, you can just kind of mess with it. And just very carefully, very systematically take it step by step. And it can be the type of thing where it's like you can write down all of these numbers. Like, I went in 10 right here, and immediately I saw 10 was too much, probably because the width was 100. And the last time I did this, I went in 10 and the width was 200 for the characters that I was working with. So I halved it and I made it 5, and it made it a little bit, a little bit more natural, a little bit nicer. Anyway, just step by step, you can do that. And that's one of the things that for me has been so exciting about figuring out how the font program works, is that you can do these things without having to actually sit there and draw it with the mouse, which is how I started fonting. And it's an extremely frustrating experience, because whatever your experience is with handwriting, having to draw a line with a mouse or a curve with a mouse, it's not better.
Whereas I came to this far. I mentioned it by training, so I know how to, so I come to this with an expectation of being able to do this all in CAD with the same level of.
All right. Well, we're over an hour now. Is there anything else you wanted to ask about this? Anything else you wanted to see? Basically, anything at all.
I just thought it would be interesting to see how somebody else approaches
Yeah.
something that I was quite so stuck on.
Yeah. Well, right on. Well, I think this is honestly really cool. And do you have, by the way, the Rebus font?
Yes, I have the Rebus one as well.
Lovely. I think it would be really cool to see this entire system written up. So please, I beg you, write this up at some point in time
I will try to.
for Fiat Lingua. Gosh, this one is cool too.
Yeah, there's some really neat things going on here.
Yeah, look at these fighty little serifs. I love them. right on. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tabby, and thank you for sharing. This is wonderful.
Thank you for talking through how you'd approach it.
Well, we hope everyone enjoyed listening to the episode.
Yeah, tried my best to.
To narrate.
Yeah. Always a fun thing when you're doing a podcast about something inherently visual.
Exactly. Yes. And yeah, we will catch you all next time in our next Slang Time Chat episode.
Right on. Stay grammar, everybody.